Hey Tiggers, it's Chris, and today I've got a question for you that will change the way that you think about your future plans, your investments, the platform that you're building. And the question is, what if you were going to live to 150? When I was in high school, the very first real entrepreneur that I ever met was this guy named JJ Hilsinger. And JJ kind of looked like a hippie. To talk to our rural high school, he had to ride his bike about 80 kilometers. And he showed up late. He was sweating. He had no notes. He parked his bike up against the chalkboard and he walked up to the lectern and he said, "Raise your hand if you're going to live to be 100." And of course, everybody in the room puts up their hand, right? We were all 15 years old and bulletproof. And then he said, "Okay, keep your hand up if you're going to live to 125." And almost every hand went down. I mean, there were a few nerds who were looking at each other, and they're like, "Yeah, haha, we're gonna make it to 125," even though we don't know anybody who's done that. And then he said, "Keep your hand up if you're gonna make it to 150." And his was the only hand still in the air. Now, JJ was probably mid-50s at the time, and this was 30 years ago. He's still going pretty strong. I went on a big mountain bike ride with him about 5 years ago. And after that, he cycled hundreds of kilometers to bike the Silk Road, all kinds of crazy stuff. But the point is that back then, 30 years ago, we thought it was ludicrous for this wealthy hippie to be talking about living to 150 or even 200. But now there are many doctors, there are futurists. And even some scientists who believe that the first person to make it to 150 is actually alive right now. And it doesn't look so impossible anymore. So my question is, if there's a chance that you might live to 150, are you better to expect it and fall short, or are you better to be surprised and make it? The problem is that right now, most people plan to die around age 85 or so. If you pass away at age 85, then you're dying of old age, and it's totally acceptable. Everybody will say, "Oh, it was his time," and you've pretty much run out of money anyway. So, that's fine. You've probably got enough left over that you're leaving a little legacy to your kids. You've probably seen your great grandkids born, and that's good. But what if you're planning to make it to age 85? And you actually make it another 65 years. What will those 65 years look like? Will you be living on a very fixed budget? Because the income that you're getting from your retirement plan has a much lower relative value. Look at what a dollar was worth 65 years ago compared to what it is worth today and see what that buys. It's not much. Conversely, let's say that you plan to live to 150 years old and you start building cash flow assets that will make sure that you can afford to survive that long with good quality care, that you're also building the health habits that will help you survive that long in a state of high activity, that you'll have vitality. And that you're also building mental training habits that will allow you to live that long as a functioning, contributing human being instead of the near vegetative state of sitting on a couch and watching Oprah, who I fully expect to live longer than you do, even if you're 150. It makes sense to me to plan to live to 150 right now. And that means it makes sense to lay down a solid foundation of cash flow assets that will continue to pay me for decades, to create solid health habits, nutrition and exercise that will pay off in the long run. So that might not always be high intensity interval training, but it definitely means strength training. 100 years from now, I would still like the ability to bend over, tie my shoes, and lift something up over my head that weighs more than 50 pounds. I would also like the ability to take myself to the toilet, sit down and stand back up under my own power, because when you lose that ability, then you have lost your independence. I'd also like the mental acuity to be able to remember where I left my keys and how to drive my car so that I'm not completely reliant on somebody else to take care of me, which for me would create a downward spiral that would make me not want to survive 250. So, what are the other things that you would need if you wanted to have a good life to 150, instead of just eking out the barest possible existence to try and break the record while being supported by various machines and drugs and chemical cocktails that are just barely keeping you alive but not aware or you know, living a valuable life. And you should start instilling those habits now, because you, as you have the freedom of time and resources, it's very tempting to just spend time fruitlessly. It's very tempting to just spend resources by buying stuff instead of reinvesting it. It's tempting to settle, to say, I've got enough. I've got more than enough. My family is set now. And, you know, we're good into a golden age, and I can make it to 85 without working anymore. But you're not going to do that. You're going to make it to 150. And so if you started with reaching 150, healthy, happy, full of vitality, dying in by crashing your Ferrari racing in the Grand Prix because you had, you know, too many people partying in the car with you or something, what do you need to set up today to make that happen? And when you shift your perspective to thinking about living for 100 years, it's very calming, because you realize that everything in your life will change many times over, that these short-term crises that seem to be dragging you down into distraction now will be long forgotten by the time you reach 150, that the people who are in your life right now won't be there anymore, good or bad, and that the legacy that you could create, you'll still be around to enjoy it, to watch it happen, to see people benefit from that legacy. How will that encourage you to set yourself up for that legacy and vitality and longevity?